All right, we're going to turn over to the book of Genesis in just a second, but I'm just going to start with a few slides because there's a lot. I haven't done this in a while, and Brother Steve, if you'd give me a push, there it is. We've got just take me a few minutes just to kind of update us on the current events that are happening around the world, because there are some developments, and I feel like we ought to be aware of it. We live in the last days, and things are happening before our eyes. I think we ought to be aware of it so that we know these things. This one is not necessarily prophetic. This is just the title, God is with thee and all thou doest, because we will see that if I get to it, which I'm going to try to, we will see that phrase in our lesson today. God is with thee. An unsaved Philistine looked at Abraham and said, God is with thee in all thou doest. Now that's a good testimony. When an unsaved person looks at you or me and says, you know, I think God is with you. I mean, that's a testimony that we ought to have. And so I just thought I would point that out. And then I borrowed this picture from somebody that took it. This is from two nights ago in Chicago. That's two built skyscrapers on one side and the blood moon on the other. The moon is not really turned to blood yet, but that's going to happen one day. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, the moon will turn to blood because every now and then, the way the planets line up and the way the light kind of reflects off of especially the earth and the way it's kind of lines up, the moon for a few hours every so often turns red. And I don't know if any of you have seen those. The Bible never told us to do anything with that or anything about that. But what is interesting, and so I just give you take this for nothing or for free. It's interesting to me that it nearly always happens on a Jewish holiday. The 14th when that happened was Purim. And if you remember, that's the holiday that was started from the book of Esther and from the persecution there of the Jews in the book of Esther. And this thing happened on that day that they still celebrate, even after, by the way, that was started, you know, you can read about that in the book of Esther. They still celebrate that today. And it happened on the 14th on Purim. I tell you what I do with this, because there's a lot of controversy, because people say, well, the blood moons hasn't happened yet, that's not biblical and all that. It's not. I know, and you know, but God did this. And it's happening on these Jewish holidays. And I'm just saying, you know, if what I do is I put the Jewish holiday and I say, God, you know, God is with thee and all that. God is still with Israel. God is still with us. If you're saved, God is with you. Amen. You know, if that's happening on a holiday that was important to God in the Old Testament, you know, God is with you. Just when that happens, just say, you know what, God did that. That's something there, and I'm going to just thank God for that, and that's what I'm going to do. So I just thought I'd point that out for whatever that might be worth. We're going to look at today several things in here, and I got 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 slides on some current events I thought we should be familiar with, and I thought I would just orient us geographically with that, with what's going on in the Mideast before we get into our lesson. But one thing we will talk about is Egypt. And most of the people in Egypt live right in by the Nile River, almost every single one of them. And I'll give you all the reasons why in a little bit, but Egypt here. And of course, this is the Sinai Peninsula, this part. And we're in our lesson today, we're going to see that Ishmael ends up living in the wilderness of Paran right here. And so the descendants of Ishmael become essentially the Arabians and the Arabs. And even today, you could say that many people in Saudi are descendants of Ishmael, and based on where they started and what we believe today that they would still live there. And that'll have some significance later in the lesson today and then later in some subsequent lessons of the Ishmaelites. And so I'll mention that, but I just want to say that's because he ends up right here on the Sinai Peninsula. Of course, this is the Mediterranean Sea, so this is Israel kind of right up in here. And we talked about Isaac being born last week, and Isaac has two boys, Jacob and Esau. Jacob's name is changed to Israel, the same Israel as today. Esau's name means Edom. Esau is Edom, and the Edomites, they settled right here. The Edomites, and we haven't gone through this in too much detail yet, but the Edomites got pushed up here when the Nabataeans came up and pushed them up, and they ended up right here in this area that they settled in. And Idumea is a Greek term for Edom. And when you look in your maps in the Bible and you see Idumea, that's the Edomites. And then later on, they got pushed over here in around Gaza, and they also got pushed over here in what used to be called Judea and Samaria, and they became the Palestinians. And so, now I'm not saying every single one that's living there today in Gaza is an Edomite, but if you say, where are the Edomites in general, that's the one. That's the Palestinians that are in our news today. So all this we've put together, you see, that's why I'm studying Genesis, is because we put it together that way. And so just to bring that up, a few things like that. So, okay, all right, I should also say too, I'm going to mention Africa a little more. Egypt's in Africa, but all of this is Africa, and there's some, of course, as you know, it goes on down here, Somalia and so forth. All that is in our news today, and I just thought I would mention that as well. Witkoff is President Trump's envoy to the Middle East, and he's doing a lot of things, but one thing he's doing is negotiating with Hamas. I just put this slide in here as a prop. I put it in yesterday, and I waited as long as I could to before I sent my slides to Brother David so he could load them in the machine, But this message, you know, about Hamas has changed many times, even since I sent my slides in. First, they're going to release. There's one more American still captive. I hope you're praying for all of the captives. It's been a long time, and there's one more. And they said they were going to release him, and that still hasn't happened. And as of this morning, everybody said the whole thing is off. And so. This one, of course, from the Jerusalem Post says Hamas is making impractical demands. You know, for one reason or another, what I read this morning, and it may be back on by now, but as of this morning, everything is off. And the IDF, Israel's Defense Force, was gearing up to go back in and start fighting again as of this morning. So keep that area in your prayer. I don't know if that's what's going to happen. There's plenty of fighting going on over there. The question about the Palestinians is what's going to happen now if the whole thing, you know, eventually comes to the point of trying to resettle them and rebuilding Gaza. Of course, I talked about several weeks ago, right after President Trump had announced his plan, and he and Netanyahu continue to look for a place to resettle the Palestinians. None of the Arabs want them. Arabs want them to stay right where they are. And, of course, President Trump and Netanyahu say, look, that's not going to work. It's just rubble. And there's 2 million people there. And, you know, we need something a little more stable where they can actually have a place. And now, according to this report, they've actually talked to some they've actually at least mentioned in this report that Africa is on the radar, someplace in Africa. Now, no, there's Somalia and Sudan. Nobody will admit to it. So I don't know if that would happen or not. The thing I'm looking for is, and this is, if you study what all of the prospective spots, as best I can tell, Edom is still on the list. The thing I'm looking for is to see whether God allows the Palestinians actually to go back home to their country of Edom. That would be something. And we talked about the verse, but I just bring it up to the why is it something is because, remember, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for his second coming, one of the places he's going to go to is Edom. And the Bible, remember I read the verse where he's got blood all over his garments from the fighting in Edom. So remember I showed you the population right now in Edom. It's not very many people right there at all. And so to me, the thing looks like it's got to be populated, you know, and not immediately. That doesn't preclude the Lord from coming. I'm not trying to say that in any way. But I will say that it's worth watching to see if they don't end up settling in Edom. That would be something. That would be a prophetic thing that God's doing behind the scenes that most people would never pick. If the Palestinians move from where they are now in Gaza back over to Edom to set themselves up for the day of the Lord, would most Christians even realize that's going on? That's why we look at current events, because, folks, that is a pretty key thing. And, we'll see if that's going. We haven't settled. Nobody settled on where they're going yet. But, you know, at least. But it's just amazing that a people group is being moved. It even talked about being moved like that. And so, of course, there's a lot of controversy. Most of Europe, this lists like the four major countries in Western Europe. They back the Arab plan. The Arab plan is keep the Palestinians where they are, try to rebuild around them. Egypt is saying, well, we've got a plan. And this article from Foreign Affairs, which used to be a place you could count on reasonable news, they say if Egypt can pull off their plan, they will go back to leading the Arab world. That is a huge statement, because right now Saudi leads the Arab world, and whether Egypt could ever, you know, Egypt plays a part in the end times, and Egypt has lain silent for a long time, hasn't it? And now all of a sudden, Egypt in our news quite often. Once again, just pointing these things out that are happening, that of some names of countries that the Bible tells us are going to be active in the end times, and all of a sudden, they're in our news. Whereas for years, for decades, they were not. It's just worth kind of, you know, I think the Lord told us to watch and be ready, right? Watch and be ready. And Christians need to do both. And that's what we're trying to just remind ourselves of a little bit. Of course, the UN is siding with the Palestinians. And there is a group there that say, let us just rebuild it here. We'll stay here and rebuild it ourselves. I do not know if that would happen or not. The U.S. greatly funds the UN and somebody will have to pump some money in there. And I doubt if they don't go along with what our administration is going with, I highly doubt that would happen. Now, if Saudi Arabia, who also has a lot of money, funds the UN and the UN does it, then it could happen. Speaking of Saudi, and I know you can't read this one on the left, but I always put up the original picture so that you know that I'm not making this stuff up. This is happening, you know. That's a letter that Saudi Arabia put out, and I just highlighted some stuff so we could talk about. But basically, in the first paragraph, they say we're totally rejecting everything that's been talked about so far. And then they criticize Israel quite a little bit, saying they committed crimes and they're against the Israel occupation. We've talked about that, haven't we? Israel's not occupied. Israel's got the land that God gave them. The whole thing's God's. And we've seen in our study in Genesis, God gave it to Israel. We've gone through that, and it's clear. And Israel is not occupying the land. Now, just I want you to think about this for a second. Last week, in fact, turn in your Bible. I'm going to get there, so we turn anyway to Genesis 21. Genesis 21. I won't read the first couple of verses there, but that's where Isaac, the promised seed, I mean, they waited all these years, and finally Isaac got born. And in verse 8, the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made him a great feast the same day Isaac was weaned. So he's a baby and weaned. Let's keep going. And verse 9, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. mocking. And so that's Ishmael mocking. It's a picture, isn't it, of Ishmael mocking Israel. It's Isaac, but okay, you get the point. That's today, if you put that in today's people groups, that is Saudi Arabia being unhappy with who? With Israel. That's what this letter is. It's the same thing. That jealousy that started in Genesis 21, which happens to be the very chapter we're on, it still continues today. And this right here is Ishmael mocking Israel, criticizing Israel, saying that they're occupying saints, Palestinians' land, and so forth. This letter just came out a couple weeks ago. Said the Palestinians were not, it's saying they're not immigrants, that it's their land and so forth. And they, of course, want this two-state solution. Now, I'm on record as saying it's okay with me if the Palestinians have a state. I think it's probably okay with God, but they can't have Israel's land. To me, the what God would want, God would want Palestinians to have their old land back of Edom. And that's southern Jordan today, but don't know if that's going to happen either. But I hope you can see how the current events are coming right along with the Word of God. You know, it's not that the Word of God is being bent to deal with the current events. It's just the opposite. The world follows the Word of God. They don't realize it, but that's exactly what is happening. Now, who's going to run the place after it's sent? That's a big question. And of course, there's a lot of articles, a lot of things happening over that. Who's going to run the thing? I'm going to keep moving here just for time. This the PA official means the Palestinian Authority, and this is back from what is today the world would call the West Bank. Christians would call it Judea and Samaria because that's what God, that's what the Bible would call it. But this would be the head of the guy in one of the officials in the West Bank, and he goes all the way up north and is speaking to the people in Lebanon because there's Palestinians up there too. We know, as we talked about before, there's Palestinians in three places, what's called the West Bank, Gaza, and then in Syria and Lebanon, north of Israel, there's probably less than 1 million. So 2 million in Gaza, 3 million in the West Bank, and about, let's just say, a short million north of Israel. And why is he going up there and starting to talk about them? And, you know, because they have for 75 years or so, they've ignored them. And they, you know, it's just interesting that they're starting to show up as well. I think all this to me is extremely interesting. And, you know, it's very hard to find this, you know, and our news doesn't really cover it. But as Christians, we just need to be aware of these things. Also, if you put on your prayer list, this is from 2 days ago in All Israel News, pray for the Christians in Syria. And if you just remember that in this whole area, there are Christians and Christian groups. I'm not saying there's a lot of independent Baptists. I'm just saying there's a lot of believers in Jesus Christ. And we ought to pray for them. In Syria, just a couple days ago, there was a pretty big slaughter of people. And one of those groups was Christians. The numbers of Christians that were slaughtered is still, to me, not clear. The reports are varied, and I'm not sure. And even though I'm following some reliable people, I still don't have, and I guess it's because of all the chaos, there's not a very good count. This is Syria. Of course, the Assad regime fell, which was what I would call the last huge dictator to fall over the years. I've got a few slides to go through the dictators over the years, but I haven't had time to yet, and I didn't have time yet to, I've got them done, but I haven't had time to present them, just to work them in yet. But at one time, there were several, all in the Mideast, that the U.S. Allowed to continue, like Saddam Hussein and that whole bunch. Well, Assad was the last one, you might say, to fall. And so there's a reason there's a lot. And that in itself is chaos, is prophetic. But that's why there's a lot of chaos in the Mideast, is because those dictators who were had terrible human rights record, but nevertheless, they kept people like ISIS and some of the Al-Qaeda in line, whereas today, it's just anybody's game. And so this fellow here, who changes his name, right now is going by Al-Shara, has changed his name a few times, he's the one, his group came and overthrew Assad. And so he's got this new group, and the guy got rid of his fatigues and put on a coat and tie, and he's got sort of this group. It still leaves out some other groups in Syria. Of course, the Kurds have a big group in Turkey and in Syria and in Iraq. The Kurds live kind of right here. Kurds are, that's the old Medes from biblical days, and I've talked about them, and I don't have time to get into the Kurds today, but you got the Kurds, and they're really tussling with Turkey right now. I'll say a little more about that. The Druze are people that want to stay out of the whole, try to stay out of the whole thing. I don't think you can even convert. If you said I want to be a Druze, I don't think you can convert. They don't. Their religion is. So there are people that have lived for, you know, many centuries at least, and they marry among themselves and pretty much don't let anybody in. And they got their own religion, which is not Islam, it's not Christianity. They mix a lot of stuff up, really, to be honest with you. But they are not there's some Druze in Israel, and they participate in the legislature and stuff. They try to stay out of conflicts. But they also were affected this last few days, especially down here. Israel's fighting down here. This is Damascus. Alawites there, here, same, not exactly like the Druze, but a separate group, not fully Islam, not fully Christian. They're kind of got their own thing as well. That's where a lot of the fighting happened this week. And who's killing them is Assad's old, the remnants of Assad's old group is still roaming around, some of it. And so when they run on a section like Christians or maybe the Druze or somebody, you know, when they do, they will are creating havoc. And that is, that's what's going on right now. The Christians primarily live or have lived over the years in Damascus and right here, and then kind of up through this region, I would say. There's some larger Christian groups, and they, in fact, are being affected. So keep Syria in your prayer. It's splitting up. All that means a lot of chaos. We have our Christian brothers and sisters to think about there. Just one or two words on Turkey, because Erdogan is on the scene also and wants to rule. So you got Saudi Arabia wanting to rule from the south, and you got Turkey wanting to rule the Mideast from the north. Of course, the Kurds want their own country. They've got millions of people, and Erdogan has not allowed the Kurds to have their own country. He tries to keep them off the map. The first thing he did after the fall, so this is Al-Shara, the guy on the left who took over Assad's group, and so he kind of runs most of Syria now. And the first thing Erdogan, who's the guy on the right, did is meet with him, and because Erdogan wants good control of Syria, so there they are shaking hands, and that alliance is probably going to be pretty strong. Just two very current events from things that have happened the last two or three nights. The U.S. IDF is fighting in southern Syria, primarily against that old Assad regime, trying to keep it knocked out. And you may have heard from yesterday from our president, who talked about the U.S. forces who had killed the current ISIS leader, and another one, a couple of those that happened yesterday. There's just a lot going on. Also, the U.S. is fighting last night where President Trump announced that he was fighting the Houthis. down there in the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula. And a second round of bombing has happened as well. Of course, the Houthis have been terrorizing that entire Suez Canal now for 18 months or so, and shooting missiles into Israel and just really creating a lot of trouble down in the Mideast. And we are actively, at this moment, actively fighting them. And the report I've seen is it may last for several months. And so you might keep that in mind. So that's something kind of that's perked up in the last day or two. And the Russia-Ukraine thing, I didn't have a slide on because I knew I wouldn't have time, but I'll just say this. It's going to be a while, in my opinion. Putin, when he got the thing to even have a 30-day ceasefire, he put so many conditions on that I'm going to be surprised if anything happens very, very fast. One other thing that could pop up with all this stuff that's going on, Mike Huckabee, as you know, is our envoy to Israel, our ambassador to Israel, and he badly wants Israel to have sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. So this is an Israel map here, and this is what, you know, the world would call the West Bank. It's what the Bible calls Judea and Samaria. And there's 3 million Palestinians that live there, and Israel manages that with Jordan, but it's not every time Netanyahu builds an apartment complex in what they call the West Bank, I mean, it creates all kinds of stuff. And we've had former presidents that just went ballistic over things like that. We got a new regime. We got a new game in town, don't we? And so they're pro. Trump is pro Israel. Huckabee pro Israel. And if they announce that Israel has sovereignty over Judea and Samaria, that will go back to biblical times. But let me just tell you, that is going to cause some. You just be ready. That's going to cause some things. So we will see. We will see how it goes. Let's continue on in Genesis 21, and we'll point out a few things, and it'll be interesting for us. I'm in Genesis 21, and we talked about verse 9, where Ishmael there was mocking Isaac. And of course, then we had the verse, and we talked about all this last week, but I felt like I got rushed for time, and so I wanted to just say another couple of words about it so we don't lose the thought, because it's a very important passage here. Verse 10, wherefore, so this is Sarah speaking, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, what one thing we said last week is, the moment Isaac shows up on the scene, what happens here in the Word of God? What did the Holy Spirit do as he was directing every single word of this passage? He buried the name of Ishmael, didn't he? Now, I'm not saying buried Ishmael, but we talked about last week where the term Ishmael does not show up again until after Abraham has passed away. So when the son of promise came up, the son of the flesh, Ishmael, we all went through that story about Ishmael. The son of Ishmael is not mentioned. Not mentioned here, not mentioned by God. Look, and that. So Sarah is saying, cast out the bondwoman and her son. He just says, and her son. Up till now, she would have said, well, cast out Hagar and Ishmael. But no, he says, cast out the bondwoman and her son. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. You see, the Bible says it's because of his son. It didn't say because of Ishmael. And even when God said, look at verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad. Even God the Father doesn't say Ishmael. I can take you back to a passage where God knows who his name is. But you see my point? Now, This cast out the bond. Now hold your place in Genesis. And we looked at Galatians last week, but I want to make a point here that I'm not so sure I did well on last week, so I want to do it better. Galatians 4, turn there. Hold your place in Genesis in case I get back there. Maybe I will. Galatians is about, if you know anybody that is struggling with understanding that salvation is all of grace and nothing of works, Galatians is your book. Put them on Galatians and tell them to read it till they understand it. It's clear. Paul was upset at the Galatians, very upset. He said, "You foolish Galatians, how did you get saved by grace and now you want to go back to the law?" That's what was happening there. It's the Jews had gotten saved. Then they started drifting back and doing some things that was required under the law. And it was confusing a lot of people. And Paul, he got into them for that and said, it's by grace and grace alone. How in the world can you be saved and not understand it? Well, today, that is happening again a little bit, and this book is very important to understand that. And one of the examples that Paul gives in among many years in chapter 4, and he says, verse 21, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants." The two covenants, old covenant and the new covenant, right? "The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth or is to bondage," which is Hagar, we talked about that. Skip down to verse 26, "But Jerusalem, which is above, is free." Now, I want you to look at verse 28. For everybody here today, 2025, if you're saved, I've got this, the 28 circled, and I got the verse underlined. This verse is extremely important. "We, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise." Children of promise. That's us. "But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now." Now, what is that verse saying? Just like Ishmael persecuted Isaac by mocking him at that party, right? That's what it's referring to. It's the same thing is happening today when somebody gets saved. And then persecution by the people of the flesh is what's happening today. But specifically in the context here, when somebody tries to confuse your salvation with something else, that's what Paul's talking about. How can you even think that some of these wild things that are going on out, Calvinism, church replacing Israel, doing a little work, getting, having to be baptized in order to go to heaven. You know, all these things that people try to add to it. There's churches all over town that believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. Folks, let me tell you, that is what you are being persecuted after the flesh. So Paul's using the example in Genesis, cast out the bondwoman, because we are of the free, you see. We are of the Spirit. Now, a couple things here. I just want to go back to Ishmael's name disappearing when Isaac came along. You don't find it until Abraham dies for a period of time there. Ishmael's name disappears. What that's trying to show, what the Holy Spirit, sometimes we talked about it last week, but sometimes the Holy Spirit, it's what he doesn't say, and he doesn't say it on purpose for us to learn something. What the Bible teaches us is when Jesus came, that fulfilled the law. The law was over. Following works, following the law, all that stuff was now gone. Just like Ishmael's name. And it's all about Jesus. See, it's all about Jesus. That's what the Bible's trying to show you in a picture here of things said and things not said is, and he's trying to say it to the Jews who were getting confused then, and we should keep it in mind for people that get confused today. When Jesus came, that was the end of the law for the Jews. Now, the Gentiles were never under the law, but that's what he's trying to say. It was over, and not only visibly do they see that, but hey, Ishmael's gone. His name's gone. And now we're talking about Isaac. And what we're in the New Testament, we should say, look, all that work stuff is gone. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus, right? And we're saved by grace. And let me just keep reading here. Verse 30, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Amen? I mean, we're the free. We're of Jesus. We can rejoice in that. Now, I see that my time is getting away. Is there a place for works then? If we're saved, there's a place for works, isn't there? Turn over. I got 4 minutes left. Turn over to Matthew 13. I'll just go here, and this will give us a new thought on that and this, and then I'll push ahead next week to some new ground. But I wanted to make that point. But look at Matthew 13. Now, this is a kind of a one-verse parable that Jesus gives us here. That most folks, I wonder if we even understand it well. Not saying you, but the average Christian, do they understand this one well? And it goes along with thinking about, well, okay, if we didn't get saved by works, what good are works? Now, you know what good works are, right? I mean, we're not working our way to heaven, but in fact, we are to work, well, that's the only reason we are left on this earth is to work for the Lord. That is our purpose. And we're laying up treasures in heaven according to what the Lord told us to do. Laying up treasures in heaven. Now, look at verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy thereof, he goeth and selleth all he had and buyeth that field. Now somebody, that's a one verse parable. And there's this field out there. This is a parable, a field out there. And the guy figures out there's a treasure buried in the field. There's the biggest diamond in the world is buried in that field. Nobody knows it but him. I don't know if it's a diamond, it says it's a treasure. I'm just going with it. Nobody knows it but him. And he says, you know what? I'm going to buy that field. And the owner puts I'm just giving you a scenario here. The owner puts a really high price tag on it. And the guy said, I don't care what it is. I will sell everything I have to buy that field. And the neighbors, farmers say, look, why are you doing? You're paying way too much. You'll never get your money back on it. But why is the guy willing to do that? Because he knows that diamond's in there, doesn't he? Let me give you the analogy of what this whole thing means, this verse means. Why did you get up this morning and come to church when you could have slept in like people that are not believers did? You could have. Why did you do that? Because you're buying a field, aren't you? You know what you're doing. When you're being faithful and following the Lord's command, you're chipping away at that field, aren't you, that you're put up for heaven. God said, I want you to witness for me. And when you hand out a tract, you come to grow on visitation, you talk to somebody about the Lord, you give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. You help somebody out. You do good works. You help spread the gospel. You help somebody. All that is being laid up for you in heaven Somebody said, why would you give a, tonight, Brother, I was privileged to go also, and Brother Preston is going to give a report on the trip to Manila that we took a couple weeks ago. And why, I bring that up because it's on mission, and so why would we support missionary? Why are you giving your money to send over to Asia or someplace and support a missionary? I mean, you're just losing your money. No, no, I'm buying a field. That field's not worth that much. Oh, yeah, it is. You don't know what's in that field. There's something pretty valuable in that field. That's what that verse means. Folks, so when we say good works, there's a place for good works, isn't there? But it's not salvation. But after we're saved, folks, it's about buying that field. It's about buying that field because we know a little bit about what's under there, don't we? We do. There's a verse that says, I have not seen. We can't imagine. Actually, we can't do a very good job of imagining what's out there, even in that field. I hath not seen, ear hath not heard, what the Lord hath prepared for those that love him. You can use that verse for heaven. You can use it for right now, in fact. God's always working for us, isn't he? He's good. He's good. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the day, for the blessings that you've given us.